This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. We are off and running on a NFL Draft Friday in the nation's capital and beyond. A little bit late. We had to get some things straight, but we're okay. We're all here. Mad Max is back with us on loan, not from the Toronto Blue Jays, no. From another team he was traded from, to. And another paycheck that he's gathering.
Well, hardly my largest.
The Kevin Sheehan Show.
That's right.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too, bud. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, man. That made me happy when I found that out today because I was wondering. But of course, I was too busy in my own mind to actually check the schedule.
Well, you're a busy man, Rooster.
Yeah, I am.
You got a lot in your mind after last night.
I do. And we'll get right to it, obviously. Okay. So, listen. I know we spent a lot of time talking trade down.
That we did.
And I thought that was the most likely scenario. But how many times did we say, hey, man, this is wide open, right? They could go edge. They could go running back. They could go wide receiver. They could go corner. And I'll raise my hand. Maybe it's me. I was very, 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 and am very distracted by the Ovechkin chase and the Caps in the playoffs. I also follow the Nats on a nightly basis. I know a lot of people don't like to talk about hockey and baseball. I do. I got to watch a little bit of the NBA. I'll admit that I probably did less work, less feel, if you will, on this NFL draft than I ever have. Part of that was, hey man, the Commanders have the number 29 overall pick. It's impossible to predict and prepare for that, right? Don't get me wrong. I heard of Josh Connerly. I knew of Josh Connerly. I didn't study Josh Connerly before last night. I also didn't anticipate that would be the decision. That would be the player that they would choose. So I'll raise my hand and say, my bad, my fault. I should have done better. Again, I really thought trade down would be the first priority. I thought those other four positions that I just mentioned, running back, edge, corner, wide receiver, would likely be more of a priority than offensive line. I even said yesterday with Coach Sheehan and Craig, at 11:40, I said, hey, I don't want them to take a guard. They didn't take a guard. They took a tackle. Craig, I believe, I could be wrong on this, if I remember correctly, was not really interested in them taking a tackle either, or the position as a whole. I could be wrong on that, but that's what I remember. That being said, when they make the pick, and when you start learning more about Josh Connerly, and when you start thinking about the divide between the top six or seven guys at offensive line in this draft. You see how the board shook out. Yeah, Tyler shook out. By the way, Tyler shook out of the first round.
Sure did. So did Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur Sanders shook. Daddy Dion probably not very happy. But the board, outside of like one of the top seven or so offensive linemen, went, right? And maybe they still would have grabbed one of the guards before. We can get into all of this. But as you start to realize, okay, the divide at that position, and then you start to think, well, wait a second. There's no guarantee that Brandon Coleman is going to be good every year. We think he's going to continue to develop. I know he's got the right mindset. I know he's got the body and the athleticism and the toughness and all that stuff, but he gave up like 10 and a half sacks in two-thirds of a year last year. It's a bunch. Now it's on the left side, but it's not like on the right side. It's a walk in the park. Most of the preeminent pass rushers in today's NFL, where do they reside? At left defensive end, off the left edge, right? People mistake that all the time. So I got to be honest with you. I'll raise my hand and I'll take whatever criticism you want. I didn't spend a lot of time on the offensive tackle group. I thought with Laremy Tunsil, I thought with Coleman going over to the right side, even though they weren't specific to that, and maybe that was our first hint, I thought, all right, they'll grab an offensive tackle or a guard, maybe both, later in the draft. So that's where I screwed up. And I think a lot of people, not everybody, I think a lot of people thought, hey, you know, offensive linemen, now that you have Tunsil and you brought back Dieter and you brought in Nate Herbig and you have, even though you have Sam Cosmi, a very big question mark to start the year, not definite one way or the other, just a big question mark, you felt like, okay, they have pretty good depth there, or good enough depth, that again, you can add somebody to the mix, but it wouldn't necessarily be a first-round pick. So that's where I, and probably you, and many of the draft analysts, pundits, whatever, probably dropped the ball a little bit. Nobody knew they were infatuated with Josh Connerly Jr., the way they were. He was here on a top 30 visit last week. Adam Peters said he's not a good golfer. Seems like a nice kid, young man. Seems like a hard worker, a leader, a hustler, very athletic. Everybody's talking about how he manhandled or controlled Abdul Carter. We'll get into all that. I loved how he got out of his stance. We're all at a disadvantage when we're judging and grading offensive linemen, but just the cut-ups that I've seen, Josh Connerly gets out of his stance and into his pass set really smooth, at least my novice eye. I just know when it looks herky-jerky and when it looks stiff, and then I know when it looks good. And that's the first thing that jumped out to me when I started watching cut-ups. So again, while I'll raise my hand and say this was not what I expected, it's why I've learned over many, many, many years of doing this to expect the unexpected. Again, not that they weren't going to address offensive line. They were. We knew that. I think we all knew that. Even with a limited amount of picks. I certainly felt that. You probably felt that. Just didn't necessarily expect it in the first round. But, to be fair, there was some speculation about them taking another guard. Why? And this is also where we further tripped up, is the perceived weakness right now is the two guard spots, right? Because of Cosme's injury and because Allegretti kind of wore down as the season went along. Remember, he was a first-year full-time starter last year. So people thought more guard than tackle. Even though, again, guard would have been too rich in many people's eyes, a couple of them went. So you couldn't say, hey, they were alone in that thinking, right? And big picture, what do we talk about all the time? You have to win along the line of scrimmage or win in the trenches. And there's a couple of ways you could do that. On the defensive side or on the offensive side. But people, pundits, myself included, fell a little bit asleep on the fact that, oh, hey, they've already made their big move. They're not going to double down that early. I know that was my thinking, and I was wrong. And if you want to beat me up for that, go right ahead. But Josh Connerly is a guy who played at Oregon, left tackle, 28 consecutive starts. He obviously is not going to play left tackle here to start. He projects, of course, to be the starter at right tackle, whether that's day one of camp, week one of the regular season, week eight of the regular season, don't know. But what I like about him, despite having almost no game time experience on the right side, you saw him play it at the Senior Bowl. He won his team's MVP of the week, of the practice week. And while technically he never really played at right tackle at Oregon, because they played unbalanced lines, and I saw him swallow up Abdul Carter a couple of times on the right side as part of that unbalanced line. What is an unbalanced line? They used to do it with Trent Williams all the time around here. They would move Trent Williams, the left tackle, and bookend him with the right tackle, whoever that was, whether it be Tyler Palumbus or Morgan Moses or whoever it was. And now all of a sudden, instead of a tight end next to the right tackle, you've got the left tackle next to the right tackle. See how we're going here? So Josh Connerly has played on the right side of a formation and practiced there and a little bit in the Senior Bowl, where, again, he was good, but he didn't play at Oregon as a pure right tackle, if that makes sense. But there's one other thing that I really like so far. And again, I don't know exactly what their plan is. And maybe this could look very different when we get to OTAs and or more specifically camp. One thing I like specifically about Josh Connerly, I'm going to give it to you next. Then we'll get into your calls at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. What do we want to talk about? Cody Rhodes style. A, whether you like or you don't like what you've heard, seen, read, whatever about Josh Connerly. One. Two, whether you're upset that they didn't trade down, despite Adam Peters saying, hey, we had plenty of opportunity to trade down. Are you upset that they didn't trade down? But I'm going to give you that thing on Connerly next. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
What was that you said on the Junkies this morning?
I was going to say, Mad Max, is there any particular reason why you're playing this song besides being an awesome tune from the Beast
Bucks? I wish I was recording. Damn it. I needed that. I'll get it later.
You can get it later.
That's true. The good news is
every screw up I make and every screw up you might make.
That's true. Oh, my updates have been... they haven't been bad, but hey, I need some feedback on those people.
You are... We'll work together.
We're going to try.
You are a young, talented lad.
I try.
You are one of my favorites, as you know. I'm very disappointed that I had to trade you and release your rights to the Kevin Sheehan show. Not that AMAC hasn't been doing a great job. He absolutely has.
You had a gun to your head. There's not much you could do.
I just couldn't resist the value.
It's good value.
You know, the value that I got in return which was AMAC 4 days a week or 3 days a week, a little Chris Buresh, a first-round pick next year, and two second-round picks in 2027.
That first-round pick next year is going to pay off.
Yeah, and then NBA style, I traded a third-round pick. I got a third-round pick, which doesn't exist, in 2036 also in return for you.
Yes.
So I just could not resist the value.
It's always good when you can trade me for a 14-year-old.
Yes. Wow. I'm not acquiring any 14-year-olds.
You said 2036.
Just for the record. All right. Anyway, we're done screwing around. We'll get out to the calls in a sec. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We will talk a little Caps about an hour and five-ish minutes from now.
Good.
Joe Bettinotti, the television voice of the Washington Capitals, live from Montreal. Or as Tyler would say,
Montreal?
He's a Montreal. It's cute the way he says it.
I like it.
I wish I can get him on tape, but he just will not send it to me. But anyway, the Commanders with one pick scheduled tonight. 61. They do not have currently a third rounder. Obviously, it would make sense for them to trade down. But will they? We don't know. It would have made sense last night, so that's one of the questions. Josh Connerly, or are you disappointed? Upset? Mad? Happy? Whatever? Whatever your visceral reaction was, whatever your reaction 12 hours later is, or 13 hours later, or whatever it is, to, hey, okay, I see what they were doing here. They say he was clearly the best player on their board. Is this not what you guys wanted? Is this not what you asked for forever and ever and ever, a true GM? Whether they're right or not, that's a whole different beast. But whether they're right or not, we won't know for a while. In the moment, while I was disappointed they didn't trade down, because I wanted more picks and I wanted the ability to move around the board. In the moment, yes. 13 hours later, I understand it. I'm not going to tell you I didn't still want to move down. I'm not going to tell you that I was jumping for joy that they didn't move down or that they drafted Josh Connerly. That would be disingenuous of me. But I understand it certainly more than I did in the actual moment. Do you understand it more than you did in the actual moment? Or are you still pissed or upset or bothered or agitated, whatever the description would be? Now, let me give you one quick thing. Here's what I love about Josh Connerly. I told you getting out of his stance, getting out of his set, or getting off the line of scrimmage, right? We often talk about get off on the defensive side. Guys, I've seen a lot of tackles, and I've seen some really, really, really bad pass drops. What I've seen out of Josh Connerly so far?
Pretty good.
Pretty damn good.
He explodes off that foot. Like, bang!
Pretty damn fluid. Right? And yeah. I'm not a scout, and neither are you.
No, but I did play center in high school as a freshman.
But it's easy to see, or it's easier to see with Josh Connerly than it is others.
It's more pronounced.
And it looks the part. It looks fluid. You're going to hear that term. It looks fluid. And that's how it's supposed to look. He's not Trent Williams, and nobody should make that comparison. Although it's come out of my mouth, including this morning on the Junkies, to say he's not Trent Williams. But he does have some traits, and that's specifically what I'm talking about. The fluidity out of your stance is really important against not bull rushers, but against speed rushers off the edge. It's really important. And let me give you the other important thing, at least the way I see it. Now listen, he could play guard ultimately if he struggles woefully at tackle.
Because that's his big issue is with, like you said, is with power rushers.
Yes.
because he gets overpowered and exactly. just out-muscled
and
a lot.
He can still get stronger, and he can still get better technique.
Put
and
him
that's
in an
what
NFL
Bobby
workout
Jones,
program. Yeah. He's going to get a lot of
exactly.
muscle on him.
And it might take a little time, but there's this thing called patience, which none of us have.
Nope.
He could eventually play guard. But you know how in the draft process and when picks are made, people go, you know what? I really think he's going to be a better guard than tackle. He's got short arms. He's going to be a better guard than a tackle. Yeah, I don't see him being a tackle. Remember Brandon Coleman last year? A lot of people were convinced that Brandon Coleman was a guard first,
mm-hmm.
a tackle second. The Commanders felt opposite of that. They thought he was a tackle first and a guard second. Okay, we'll see what they do this year.
Maybe after a year watching him, they change their mind.
Right. Which is called evaluation.
That's
which
right.
is called an evaluation that is ongoing. And again, I want to be clear. Josh Connerly might eventually play guard. But you know what he doesn't do right now? You know what I have read nowhere and seen any evidence of? You know what nobody has said that I've read? Maybe I've missed it. Yeah, Josh Connerly's probably better inside than he is at tackle.
Haven't seen it.
To me, not taking a tweener off the surface, off the jump, is really important. I'll give you, again, two other examples. Three examples. Brandon Coleman last year. Sam Cosmi 4 years ago. And all the way back to Brandon Scherff. People were, in the draft community, whatever that means, were more convinced that those three gentlemen that this organization took were better or gonna be better at guard for various reasons than they were at tackle. And you know what? What happened with Brandon Scherff? What happened with Sam Cosmi? What might happen with Brandon Coleman?
You got to tell me, Roost. I don't know.
My memory's fading, but I think the first two wound up pretty damn good at guard, right?
Yeah, like Pro Bowl level,
ooh.
I think.
So wait a second. We don't know the rest of the story, Paul Harvey style. That's a little bit before your time.
Just a little.
That was when I was a young buck. We don't know the rest of the story on Brandon Coleman, but we damn sure know on the other two. And all three of those guys, again, were
studs.
Projected, thought, what have you, to be better at guard than tackle. And this team, this organization, sometimes under different ownership and management and whatever, not all the time, because obviously Coleman was this regime, thought, no, they're better at tackle. And preached tackle and started them at tackle, and then they realized quickly that they were guards. That being said, I have not seen that anywhere or any evidence or any shred of data that would suggest, even though he has the ability to do it, they think, they feel. I have not seen any evidence, data, what have you, that says Josh Connerly, who played left tackle and started at left tackle for Oregon for 28 straight games, will be better at guard than he is at tackle. Again, it might happen eventually, but when guys are thinking that already, that's a classic tweener. That's somebody I don't really want a part of, especially in the first round. I want a tackle or I want a damn guard. I want to know. In the third round, it's a little bit different. I want to know. Right now, and presumably moving forward, because it looks like they had probably a top 20 grade on the kid, right now, and presumably moving forward, I have no doubt what Josh Connerly is, and that's a tackle. Time for a trending alert, and then I see you all lined up. We're going to get to Gary first. Stan, AA, Lou, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. First, again, a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, good to have you with us right here on a NFL Round 2 and 3 Friday in the nation's capital, along with Mad Max on the other side of the glass. I am merely the rooster. Cock-a-doodle-doo to you. Chris Russell, round two and three coming up tonight in Green Bay. Again, the Commanders right now with only one scheduled pick, 61. We will see where they go from there. We will get into some other picks. But right now, we're just getting your reaction to A, disappointed still, or in the moment that they didn't trade down. And, of course, what do you think of Josh Connerly? Do you like fortifying the offensive line? Let's get out to you on the Team 980 and on the phone lines at 301-230-0980. Let's say good afternoon to Gary in Upper Marlboro. What's up, Gary? How are you?
How you doing?
All right, Gary, what's going on?
Hey, look, I am somewhat disappointed. I don't think there's anything wrong with the player himself, okay? I think he's probably going to end up being a good player. But I have a problem with them not addressing the defense, okay? Mm-hmm. Every GM on draft night says they drafted the highest player on their board. That is the consistent theme that you'll see throughout every draft room. Everybody's jumping up like they just hit the lottery after they made the pick, and somebody will say, well, he was the highest person on our board, okay? I have a problem with it because this defense has not been improved at all. They've moved some pieces around, but they have a bunch of journeymen that they've placed that they got in free agency, all right? And this was a bad defense to very average defense last year when – I counted it one time. They played against, I think, 13 substandard quarterbacks last year. 13 out of the 17 games, regular season games. And they were a bad defense to a lackluster defense. This year is going to be different. They are not playing 13 substandard quarterbacks in this 17-game season. And for them to have $90 million that they had to play with this offseason, and them not to add one blue-chip player. There was not one player that they added that was in three top 100 free agent lists that I saw, including the one guy, the whatever his name is.
Javon Kinlaw.
The defensive tackle.
Yeah, Kinlaw.
They didn't do that. And then for them to not address the defense in the first round, I am disappointed in that, and I am glad that they didn't trade down, because I don't trust – I'm not at the point where I trust Adam Peters with drafting in the third, fourth, fifth round. I'm just not sure about the draft class last year.
Listen,
I know it's only been 1 year, and I went over this with them.
Yeah, I don't blindly trust Adam Peters and do the whole in Adam Peters we trust bit, like he's never going to make a mistake. That's not what I do. So I'm with you in that regard, but it sounds like I have a little bit more faith in Adam Peters and this front office and scouting staff that in the middle rounds than you do, and that's fine. That's fine. We'll see what Jordan McGee turns out to be. We'll see if Dominic Campton turns out to anything. We'll see if Javonte Jean-Baptiste can have a pretty good second year after a decent showing last year, so on and so forth. But here's what I would say. Is there anything to, and I'm going to ask you this, Gary, because you're more than fair to feel the way you are. You do. Is there anything to be said for, A, the possibility that they could still go out and add a blue chip player via trade involving next year's picks or a current player or situation on their roster, i.e. a Trey Hendrickson after the draft, number one. Number two, is there anything to be said for, you know what, the days of trying to win football games 17-14, they really don't exist anymore. This is a 31-28 league, not a 17-14 league.
I think that, as far as Trey Hendrickson is concerned, you better have a good idea or a good handle on the fact that you can go out and do that if you're going to.
That's fair.
If you're not going to address.
That's fair.
The
game. That's fair.
Okay. And as to the winning games, I agree. It's an offensive league. But when the team that you're trying to catch, okay, just threw down 55 points on you and they didn't lose but one guy on their offense, I think that's a problem. And you got to remember, I say this, you look at the list of quarterbacks that they played last year, and those quarterbacks were below average.
Yes, understood.
13, I think, out of the 17. So for you not to address the defense and go out and get a blue-chip player or the most talented player that you could, I have a problem with that.
I get that, but maybe, just maybe, let me throw one more into the equation, and then I'll let you respond, and then we have to move on. Maybe the rest of the draft is all defense. Or maybe Jordan McGee and Dominique Hampton and Javonte Jean-Baptiste from last year's draft class make a big difference, along with the Daniel Wises of the world, along with the Caleb Martins of the world, along with Kinlaw being reborn and back in his hometown and so on and so forth. Not Daniel Wise. Dietrich Wise. Sorry, Daniel Wise was here for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I was getting my Wises confused. But you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, I hear you on that. But if all of these guys that they brought in, the free agents, including the two guys that they got to trade for, okay, mm-hmm. the big names, if these guys play the way they played last year, they will be a bottom-of-the-league team. Because none of these guys are coming off good seasons. Now, one of their free agents, maybe the safety, but all of these free agent guys, except for Kinlaw, are coming off their regular down seasons, or in Debo and Laremy Tunsil, they're coming off the worst seasons of their career. My point is the draft should be relegated to addressing needs, not addressing a left tackle when you already have a left tackle. And what you're saying is you're talking about bumping this guy on the inside. You know, you averaged 29 points a game last year. Your defense was the problem against a lackluster offensive lineup that you went against. I think this kid is going to be a good player, but is it going to be enough to make up for what you have a problem with on defense?
That's fair.
I'm not so sure.
It's a really good call and a fair argument, and I can't tell you you're crazy or you're wrong or you're out of this league for having these concerns. I mean, we have to obviously wait and see if they do anything more, now post-draft, which teams do, and how it all unfolds, but I can't tell you you're wrong. Thank you for the call. Really good call to start the show. Really good call. You don't have to agree with them, but a really good call. Let's get to Stan in D.C. next up. Stan, how are you?
Doing fine, man.
What's it? Hey,
at all costs, protect number five. All costs. We got a quarterback now.
Mm-hmm.
If this guy's the best player in the on their board, I'm all for it and what have you. I trust who we got making decisions now. And, look, having Philadelphia in our division is a blessing and a curse. They can go on a 10-year run and win the division every year. We have to be able to match their physicality on the offensive line and on the defensive line. So if you want to build this team from the inside out, I'm all for it. Because Philadelphia is a monster, and they got that number 98 there, okay? And he's going to wreak havoc on the league for the next 10 years. And we got to have somebody somewhere who can at least neutralize him. Because if you don't, hey, he's going to just destroy us every time we play him.
Well, that's a fair point, but I would also say Connerly is not very likely, if ever, to go against him. But what he does help you with, presuming that he's as good as they think he is you don't have to chip, rub, double team, what have you, presumably on the left side or the right side on the exteriors anymore, right? I mean, Laremy Tunsil and him, if he's as good as they think he is, and maybe it's not right away, you have that. That allows you to be more creative in your concepts and in your scheme to block up Jalen Carter and others like Dexter Lawrence, provided that he's the same player when he comes back from the injury.
Well, like I say, I trust in what they're doing. I wish we had more draft, picks and what have you, but we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is that, hey, we went to the championship last year, after 30 years of futility.
Yeah, can't take that away.
I don't want to hear this belly aching that I hear already going on. I'm so grateful that we got a viable football team now.
More than fair. Thank you for the call. Appreciate you. Good to hear from you, Stan. We'll get to Double A. We'll get to Lou. We'll get to Dr. Sabah. All fired up, everybody, on a Friday afternoon on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, along with Mad Max on the other side of the glass, good to have you with us on this Friday. Right back to the calls so we can get as many of you in as we can. We ask you to just keep it as short as possible because we got a lot of calls and a lot of reaction to get to. Let's get to our guy, Double A, Athens in Annapolis. What's up, Double A? How are you?
I'm good, and I'm optimistic because I think what you think your first caller didn't understand, or maybe he missed, is they tried to add blue chip players, okay, in free agency. It didn't work out. They wanted Ronnie Stanley and maybe Khalil Mack, but their plans changed. trust me, they didn't want to trade that draft capital they did for Tunsil. They didn't want to do that, but it's just the way the cookie crumbled. What people are missing is that you have to go back to Rivera and how inept he was and how missing on all those first rounders and guys like Phil Mathis in the second round made us so have so many needs at running back, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, secondary. And it's going to take another draft and another offseason to build this team to beat the Phillies, the KCs, the Buffaloes, and the Baltimores. It's not any type of science project. Adam Peters is not going to hit on every pick either. Okay, no GM has. So I'm very optimistic. They're traded for Tunsil to keep Jaden upright. They drafted this kid to keep Jaden upright, and then let's see what else they do with the free agency that's still out there post June 1 cuts. But I'm very optimistic. But this is just the fallout of what this team dealt with before, what was handed off to them, 33 new players last year, more new players this year. It's just when you whiff on that many picks, like we've talked about time and time again, it's going to take a while to rebuild.
Well, not only that, and it's a very astute point as always, but as I've always said, right, it's not only missing on the player, it's the attrition that you have to then spend more resources, either free agent money or draft picks, to get and still fill that need. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's a double whammy.
Exactly.
It's a double penalty. And a lot of people don't think of that. They just think, oh, it's one mistake. No, actually, it's going to cost you twice as much when you whiff on an Emmanuel Forbes, on a Fedarian Mathis, on a Jahan Dotson, on a who else am I thinking?
Hello. Jamin Davis.
Davis, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And listen, did they get something out of those guys? Something? Yeah, they got something. They did. They got something. It wasn't enough by any stretch, so maybe it's not quite the prohibitive penalty, but it's pretty significant. And, you know, I'll also say this. Remember, last year, everybody wanted Adam Peters to trade into the bottom part of the first round to get a bookend left tackle. Everybody wanted that. They didn't do it for whatever reason. Some of those resources were then spent on getting Laremy Tunsil, who is at the very minimum proven, at the very minimum. So, and then they actually get the first round offensive lineman without trading any additional assets for him in Connerly. So keep that in mind.
Chris, it is a little surprising that they didn't trade down if they had that many offers, but we don't know what they were offered and how far they had to trade down. Mm-hmm. We don't know, but the thing I'll leave you with is one out of six, and that means going back to the year that Haskins and Montez Sweat were drafted, Sweat is the only player before Jaden and those players that were drafted between Ron and the last year that Gruden was here. One out of six, Sweat is the only player who did anything. Everybody else was a bust. So do that, like you mentioned, the attrition and everything you have to spend to replace those players, you're still seeing it to this day. That's why we're in the position we're in. But
no doubt.
I'm optimistic. We'll see what happens.
Thank you, pal. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend. That's our guy, Athan in Annapolis. All right, to be fair and to stay on clock and to give everybody a chance, we're going to start off hour number two with Dr. Sabah. Doc, hang in there. We'll get to you right away, just a couple of moments away on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.